Morning. Well, I've joked already that if you're an adrenaline junkie, today is your Sunday. This weekend we've had server crashes and bulletins that weren't printed, and hence the little change up there on the slide. And then this morning, about 5 o'clock, I woke up at 5, and I just incidentally looked at my phone, saw I had a text message, and it was from Megan McGraw. And it said, Daniel isn't going to make it to church. He is sick and in no condition to preach. I will email you his notes. Okay? Now, you guys need to understand that this is like a dream come true for me. Okay? I am standing before you. I am feeling very underprepared. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say. I have had this dream before. Okay? This is my anxiety nightmare. I did remember to wear pants, though. But this is an important message. It's an important message. This is an important text. And this is an important day. Because today we are asking you to begin the process of talking to our church elders and our ministry staff about the people that you would like to be considered for eldership. And so as we begin, as we look at this text, and as we consider its implications for who we are as a church and who our leaders are, let's be prayerful. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, our God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We pray that your Spirit gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to love and hands and feet to serve. We pray that you never stop molding us and changing us into the body of Christ. Help us be your people through this text. Help us be like Jesus. And we pray that you give our leaders, our elders, the strength and the wisdom to help us live out our calling. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. So, how is it with your soul? I like this question. It's a bit archaic. Certainly somebody would raise their eyebrow if you were to ask it to them, my soul. But how is it? Go ahead and do a little check-in with yourself. Do you feel close to God right now? Are you satisfied? Are you content with life? Are you restless? Do you feel like maybe you have been withdrawing from God, or do you feel like maybe God has been withdrawing from you? How's your soul? How has it been with your soul? If you were to write a spiritual autobiography and give an account of your relationship with God, what moments would stand out to you? Now, I can think about my own life, and I just remember these times of this great spiritual connection, this intensity, where I have felt God close to me, and I've been invigorated with passion and excitement for life and for church and for service. And oftentimes, we think about these moments as the most important moments of our lives. We think about these mountaintop experiences. And these times are important. We remember them. They stand out to us. These are moments in which God often gives us an insight, or we remember about how God has shown us in that moment how much He loves us, that He desires us and is connected with us. Mountaintop experiences are great. But there's more on our spiritual journey than mountaintop experiences, aren't there? Sometimes our spirituality can look a little bit different, sometimes a lot different than that. There are moments that we feel disconnected, when life is hard and we're feeling overwhelmed. We feel darkness and we don't know when God is going to show us the light. There are moments in which we are, as the psalmists say, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And though we know that He is with us, it's hard to see sometimes. There are moments when you wake up at 1 a.m. and you realize that you are too sick to preach a sermon. So send Daniel an email. Let him know that we're praying for him. And in those moments, we just have to say, you know, God, I don't get it. I don't know why things are the way they are. You know, you feel distant. I feel distant, but I trust you. Or I want to trust you. Or please help me trust you. Spiritual highs and spiritual lows, we have them both. Both experiences are important. Both are part of our journeys with God. James, in the passage that we have that Dan read for us this morning, recognizes both the ups and the downs of life. Hear the beginning of it again. Are any among you suffering? Well, they should pray. Are any of you cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. James is here recognizing the both and part of life. There's joy and there's sorrow. There's suffering and there is celebration. And James says that what we do together, the people who are the people of God, we are happy when people are happy and we are sad when people are sad. When people are happy, we praise. And we give thanks with gratitude. And when people need something, we ask. And when people, as happens sometimes, are crushed, we lament with them. When we receive, we give thanks. Our response to the whole of life, not just parts of it, but the whole of our life is this. According to James, we pray. Prayer is important. Let's look at Jesus real quick, because we're talking about spiritual leadership, right? And spiritual formation, and Jesus is always where we're headed. So let's look at Jesus, and Jesus' life and his prayer. Jesus' life and ministry are just grounded in prayer. Think about when Jesus was baptized. Immediately, you talk about it like a mountaintop experience, right? I don't know about your baptisms. Mine did not involve like the skies opening up. But Jesus did. He looks up and the skies have opened up and the Spirit comes upon him like a dove. And the voice of the Lord speaks and affirms that Jesus is his Son in whom he is well pleased. And then immediately Jesus takes from that moment and he goes off and for 40 days he is in the wilderness fasting and praying. His response to that mountaintop experience is to spend time with God. Jesus spends the whole night one night on a mountaintop right before he's going to go and find his disciples and choose the men that will be with him and be his friends and be his companions. He spends the whole night in prayer. And then he goes down from that mountain after prayer and he finds his friends. And then in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5, he preaches one of the most important sermons of his entire ministry. That kind of action empowered by his night of prayer. He slips away from time to time, leaving the grind of ministry so that he can spend time with God. He prays with other people. He prays with his disciples. He prays in front of crowds. He prays one-on-one. He teaches them how to pray. And we can't think of Jesus in prayer without thinking of that one moment that just stands out in Jesus' prayer life when he is facing the most difficult moment of his entire ministry. And he is deciding in that moment whether he is going to be obedient to God, knowing that obedience is hard and is going to lead him to death. And he prays, not my will, but yours be done. The Son of God, God made flesh, stopped always to pray to God because he knew that the only way that he could stand grounded and faithful in his ministry is to pray. So if God has created us, his church, to be like Jesus, we're going to be people who pray, right? Listen to Paul in various scriptures here, talking about a people of prayer. Rejoice always, he tells the Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you. Do not quench the Spirit. In Ephesians, he says, and pray in the Spirit in all kinds of occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, he tells the Romans. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. You guys feel that sometimes? But that very Spirit that he places in us, it intercedes for us on our behalf with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what it is, the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And finally, for those who are led by the Spirit of God and are children of God, you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, to be God's people, to be His children, is to be people of prayer. Those are one and the same. To be God's people and people who pray. It's who we are. It's who Jesus was. It's who God's created us to be. And by the way, did you see in Paul's words, he describes prayer, it's not something that we are doing. He says that as a church, pray to God, but we're also praying with God and through the power of God. God has given us a spirit that helps us pray. And in fact, prays when we can't. The groans of our hearts because of the Spirit become prayers to God. So God calls us to prayer, and He actually helps us pray. Isn't that cool? Spiritual leadership, as we've been defining it in this series, is this: that one becomes like Jesus in thoughts, our actions, our relationships, and our connection to God, and we help others do the same. That's what spiritual leadership is. We grow into being like Jesus, and then we help other people grow to be like Jesus. And if that's true, if Jesus is the model for what spiritual leadership is, for who we are becoming as a church, for who we want our leaders to help us be, then spiritual leadership means imitating Jesus' life of prayer. Helping others to cultivate time and communication with God during all of life's up and downs. Now, I want to be clear about something. Spiritual leadership is not about being perfect. And our spiritual leaders, our elders, are not perfect people. And they're not going to be perfect prayers, just like they're not going to be perfect in all of their lives. Sometimes our leaders have bad days. Sometimes we struggle. Spiritual leaders, whether they're elders or ministers or just the mentors and the people around us, our deacons, we get tired and angry and overwhelmed at times. And sometimes we have to ask for grace and we have to ask for forgiveness. And there are days in which spiritual leaders don't feel very close to God. This isn't just a natural phenomenon. This is all over Scripture. As God leads His people with imperfect leaders. Let's take Moses. Moses is the one person whom God has chosen to deliver His people from slavery, who gives to the people the law. You talk about a mountaintop experience. This is a guy who stands before God face to face on the mountain, and yet there he is in the wilderness, and he's leading these people who are just grumbling and just nagging him and complaining to him and are borderline mutinous, and he has all of this anxiety and this resentment for the people, and there he is just taking out all of that resentment with his staff on a rock. Okay, lose him. He's taking out all of his resentment, and he's frustrated. He's also praying. One writer reminds us that Moses' life, his life leadership, is marked by regularity with which he prayed for the pleading and sought God's situations involving them. Over and over, pattern with Moses consistent. The people complain, and then Moses cried to God. Elijah, right? Elijah is this prophet who stands toe-to-toe with the king, and behind this king is an army, and there's also like a pavilion where all holding swords, and behind them is a person who is probably the only person that actually deserves the title a really nasty woman. And he is the person that James refers to as an example of prayer. He prays and it didn't rain. He prays and God lights up the altar. He prays and the skies open up and it rains again. And yet this guy, Elijah, having witnessed all of that, having led spiritually in all of those ways, this is also a guy who has a moment of severe struggle and doubt. In fear and exhaustion, and perhaps even depression, he wishes for death and asks God to take his life. Elijah, one of the greatest spiritual leaders of Israel, struggled as well as anybody. Spiritual leaders aren't perfect, but what they do is they pray. They remain connected to the one who brings life and peace. In fact, as we see in the examples of Jesus, Moses, Elijah, and others, prayer isn't just a duty. It's not just one task on their list of responsibilities. The time that they spend with God is the very thing that grounds them. It's what keeps them going. It empowers their ministry. Their prayer makes them leaders, and through their prayer, they teach us to become a prayerful people. Consider this. Jesus' life was bathed with prayer, wasn't it? It is possible to have a church with leaders who do not pray. They can still lead. It's just doubtful that leaders who don't pray like Jesus can lead a church to Jesus. It's a high calling, isn't it? Being a prayerful spiritual leader. A high calling. But we would be wrong to talk about prayer as though it were a duty. And we misread Scripture when we hear the call to pray as an injunction rather than a gracious, open invitation to open up our whole hearts, our rejoicing, our grieving, our anxious, at times our unfaithful hearts to the gracious Creator who has opened his whole heart to us. So let's hear the words of James again. Are any among you suffering? Well, they should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? Well, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, but he prayed fervently that it may not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. It's a beautiful passage. And it's one that invites all kinds of questions, not all of which we're going to dig into right now. So if you have like a question, you can just email Daniel later. Now, in James's invitation here, he shows us this beautiful, all-encompassing picture of prayer. When life is good, let's rejoice. When life is more complicated, let's pray. When our world falls apart, we gather together and we ask God to intervene. There are mountains and there are valleys in life, and God invites us to share all with each other and with Him. And together we praise, we petition, and we pray. And then in like the midst of this picture, you have the elders who are placed right in the center. Jesus says, go to the elders. God's given them to us just for these moments when we're struggling. And I know that this could be a challenge for some of us. Some of us have grown up with this picture of church elders or church leaders in our minds, thinking that they're like the policemen of respectability. Like many of us believe sometimes that the elders are like, these are the last people we want to ever admit our weaknesses to. And I'm so glad that God has placed in our congregation elders who really embody James's vision here. Jim and Hilton are elders who can step in and have stepped in to moments of people's weakness as shepherds and as comforters, people of prayer. Elders step into our moments of weakness and pain and hurt and doubt and dis-ease. In fact, when James says the phrase, are any among you sick? He uses the word sick, it means to be weak. And surely he's thinking in his mind about physical sickness, but also it's our souls that get sick as well. Now, I know that verse 15 might be a little bit difficult for some of us. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. That the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Some of us struggle with that. It seems, for many, it almost seems like this magic bullet, that if you pray with enough faith, or you call the most righteous person you know, that everything is going to work out the way you think it should. And certainly we do pray for the sick. But this verse, I know, has caused some questions in people's hearts. Did I not have enough faith? Was the righteous prayer not righteous enough? Does God heal? Does he answer our prayers? What we have to remember about this invitation is that as we pray, God's will is supreme. And sometimes that doesn't work out the way that we think it should. But God always gives us his presence, and he always saves. And the healing that we long for now sometimes comes later. And we look forward and we hope for that healing moment of resurrection. And so we read verse 15, the Lord will raise them up. Sometimes now, sometimes later. And so we come to our elders and we ask them to pray for us. We ask them to pray for those who are weak. We ask them to lift up before the Father us and the people on our hearts and to intercede on their behalf. Now, as always, there's more to say. There's more to say about this passage. There's more to say about prayer. There's more to say about elders. This image that James has offered for us, an image in which elders are in action, leading people by praying with them and for them, entering into places of suffering. This is a vision of elders who sit next to hospital beds and pray over sick bodies, or who drink coffee with people and pray over sick souls, who pray words of comfort and care when we need it, who sit quietly beside us when what we need is silence, who will hear our confession and offer hope, and who pray on our behalf, reminding us of God's saving grace and the promise of resurrection. Now, what do we do when James gives us an invitation like this to pray and praise together? As we begin the process of nominating people for the task of leading us, I think that it's right for us to take a moment to respond to James's invitation. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give us a few moments of silence. It'll be long enough to be awkward. And I'm going to invite us to spend a few moments with God, just to open our hearts to Him who has opened His heart to us, and pray that He would give us leaders who will be for us the light, who will lead us to be the light of Jesus in a world that needs it. So let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, may Your Spirit be on Jim and on Hilton. May You fill them with wisdom to lead. May Your Spirit be on the ministry staff here, on Jay and on Daniel and me. May Your Spirit be on all in our congregation who to whom we go to when we have questions, the people we ask to pray for us, leaders and mentors and friends. And may Your Spirit be on this entire congregation as we consider who our shepherds will be leading us into the future. And may that future always be a future oriented to You. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. This week, we are asking that You come talk to us. That You come talk to Hilton and Jim, or Daniel, Jay, or me. Daniel has given some written instructions on the front of the bulletin in that front page article, but you can come talk to us in person, call us up on the phone, email us, write us a letter. And here's what we want. We want to know who it is that you would like to be an elder. Who is it that you think is a leader in your own life, somebody who is shepherding you, and that you think needs to be an elder here? And we're going to be taking those for about a week. We ask that you let us know before October 30th is kind of the cutoff. November 1st is like, that's the hard cutoff. But try to let us know before next Sunday or by next Sunday. We'd like to know who it is and also why. So if you're going to send us an email, don't just give us a name, but let us know what it is about them that you want to make sure that we know. And then we're going to be praying throughout the whole week for this process. I hope that you've been praying this week. We certainly have. And we're going to continue praying. And then we'll take those and we'll be praying over them. So please communicate to us. Let us know before the end of next Sunday, okay, by October 30th, if you can communicate that to us. Here is our invitation. We're going to continue in this time of prayer and praise with songs and prayers and a benediction. And as we do, you are always welcome to come forward and let us know if there is anything that our leaders can do to help you in any way. You can come talk to us right now or you can talk to us later. Come and let's stand and sing and worship together.